Good morning. We're going to keep going with what Maddie was sharing about with the kids because it nicely ties into where we were in Colossians chapter 3. Joel had started last week, I think, started at the beginning of chapter 3 and got up to verse 10. So we'll pick up there, but I'm going to actually just as a refresher, chapter 3 starts off with talking about seeking the things above. If we've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above and setting our mind on things above. And then he gets into verse 5 and he's challenging the Colossians about putting aside, and he rattles off a bunch of things: sin, ultimately, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires. He goes on all these things, and then he says, I'll just maybe start reading in verse 9, and then we'll just carry on from there. We are going to cover 11 to 17, but I'll just start in verse 9, because 11 is a continuation of this. Do not lie to one another. Since you've laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian and Scythian, slave and freeman. But Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy in blood, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So this morning we saw an example, a very great picture of putting on compassion, gentleness, kindness, humility, and patience. And he says three times, so in verse 10 he says you're putting on the new self, and then he says in verse 12, thank you. Is this better? Lower. Sorry, I'm trying not to pop at you as I'm talking. We're honing this in. Verse 12 he says, putting on all these things, right? Sorry, just finding my spot. Compassion, kindness, humility. And then he says in verse, at least in my translation, and admittedly it's in verse 14, he says, put on love, although the put on is in italics. All of that to say, I was really questioning this morning and yesterday as I was looking at this, what does this actually look like to put this on? And Maddie talked a little bit on this. So I looked up this word in the Greek, you know, you got to go back to the Greek. And if you look it up in the Greek, you can find a lot of references, particularly in the Gospels, to where they were putting on clothing. They were putting on something, they were putting on a garment. And I was like, wow, it definitely paints this picture. I mean, that's exactly what the word is used for, is putting on clothing. And at the same time, when I read it, for me, I'm thinking, is it just saying I need to just kind of muscle out, I'm trying to think of how you picture this, but just I got to work hard and put on this compassion, put on kindness, and it's an almost like an effort. And I'm realizing, I'm like, well, I don't, in my heart, that doesn't resonate, that's how we do this. So I just began to question this. And for those that were there with us Friday, you're going to get a little bit of a repeat of some things, but I think we have to say, how do you, the question that really comes to it for me, especially as you look at verse 12, is putting on these things. How do you put them on? And I don't want to leave out verse 11 because it's an interesting one. And I actually was listening to somebody else talk about it. But he says there, he's talking about this idea. He says in verse 10, he says, you put on the new self. Again, this, how do you put on the new self? who's being renewed or renovated to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, who's being changed into the image of Christ. And then it says, in this change, in this renovation, there's no distinction. It doesn't matter whether you're a Greek or a Jew, you're a circumcised or uncircumcised, you're a barbarian, a Scythian, a slave, a free man, but Christ is all in all. Like, it doesn't matter. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of which we're all sinners. He came to save every person, doesn't matter what their background is. And so this person was kind of tying verse 12 and these things in verse 12 back to verse 11. We're saying, within the body of Christ, you've got people that have been raised in different families. You've got marriages where you get people coming together, and that we are all not the same person. We see things differently. Who doesn't enjoy running? I enjoy running. We're not all the same, right? And then others could say, well, I enjoy this. I don't enjoy that. I was thinking about this. There's such a disparity. And you can get to things that are more how one spends money. Singing, one person can say, I love Marketplace. Another person would say, I'd prefer to buy new. Oh, and all of a sudden you can joke about exercise, but now all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, is one better than the other? Or there's just so many differences. You could even almost get to doctrinal differences. All of these things. And then you can take that and go, okay, we're coming from different places and God's bringing us all together. So knowing that he's bringing us all together and that each one of us is being changed into the image of Christ and that God's working in each one of us, now we get some, maybe a picture of where we start in verse 12. So as those who've been chosen of God, coming from all these different places and knowing that we're all maybe coming with different viewpoints on different things, even the most natural things. We had a potluck today. I married into an American family. I can tell you Thanksgiving looks different coming from a Canadian family and an American family. You know, I've learned about green bean casserole. That's not a Canadian thing as much, but that's an American thing, right? You learn to, you're coming from different places, and it's learning to, and I realize that's kind of a silly thing, but when you start to get to the more sensitive things, you realize, even in a marriage, the person that I was listening to talked a lot about marriage, right? This is talking about the body of Christ, but even in the home, how we come at things from a different angle. So knowing that, we need to understand, how do we then put on compassion? How do we put on kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience? How do you actually bear with one another and forgive one another? Is it just, I'm going to do it? I'd say that maybe I'm the only person that wrestles with this picture of, okay, I'm just going to do it. I got to just put it on, and then it's done. The other place, where does it talk about? Put on the armor of God. How do you do just put these things on? You come back, we looked at John 15, the very familiar, and we've talked about it many times, this passage of the parable of the vine, where it says Jesus is the vine dresser. Jesus is talking. He says, I'm the vine. The Father, Heavenly Father, is the vine dresser, and we are the branches. So in this vine of Jesus Christ is just one, I just get this picture of a vine that's just, life is just coursing through it. It's pumping through it. Kindness is pumping through it. Compassion. All the things that we want to put on are pumping through this vine. So how do we access what's in this vine? We need to be abiding in that vine. We need to be attached to that vine. And I think that there's something in here when you go, okay, how do I put these things on? This isn't anything different. We put them on when Jesus Christ's life is coursing through us. In John 15, verse 4 and 5, I'm going to read you these verses. John 15, 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch, we cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. When you read verse 12, like, it's a quick quiz, but like, how many of these also are in Galatians chapter 5 where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit? Almost all of them. They're not, I don't think everyone perfectly. I can't remember if compassion is in verse chapter 5, but the reality is they're all fruits of the Spirit. So he's saying, abide in me and I in you as a branch, us, cannot bear fruit of ourselves unless we're abiding in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I am him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And we were talking about particularly this last line, apart from me, you can do nothing. So apart from Jesus Christ, you will not be able to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, maybe for a little bit, but it'll crack, right? That patience will crack all of a sudden. And in a way, when we read this and it came to me Friday night as we were reading it, for apart from me, you can do nothing. It sounded like such a promise because to me, the opposite is true, right? If we think of apart from Christ, we can do nothing. But what if we're abiding in Christ? Now we can do anything. When I say anything, we can have kindness. We can have humility. We can have gentleness, patience, kindness. There's another just further down in John 15. He says, my Father is, in verse 10, he says, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love just as a, no, sorry, I'm looking for the one where he says, ask whatever you, thank you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he would give to you. I think it says it in another spot as well in John 15. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Yeah, there it is. Two times he says this. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Two times in that passage he says, asking whatever we wish. And it sounds like the natural mind goes, anything I want? But all of a sudden, when you come to Christ, and perhaps you get a revelation of who you are apart from Christ, and you see, you know what, Lord, I am not a compassionate person. I'm not a kind person. I'm not humble, nor do I have gentleness or patience. I lack all of these things, nor do I have love. But then you realize, too, that mustard seed of faith is there to believe. Lord, you said, apart from you, I can do nothing. And I am a living example of that. And I say that true to myself. But Lord, I have a mustard seed of faith that the opposite is also true. That if I'm abiding in you, just like Paul said, that I can do all things, Lord, through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, if I am in you, then I can do anything. And now all of a sudden come back to this thing that says you can ask whatever you want in Christ's name and he will do it. So now all of a sudden you can come back to the place of saying, Lord, make me kind. Lord, give me patience. I need patience. I need gentleness. I need all of these things. And the promise that we have is that in Christ, when we're abiding in Christ, now all of a sudden we have these things. They're available to us. And does it mean that there'll never be a moment where you're impatient? No, I was thinking about this idea because it says the vine dresser, the Heavenly Father, is always working in our lives, pruning us that we would bear more fruit. And I was thinking about that process of pruning. And you think about it in your own life. I was thinking, I don't see it as the Heavenly Father is cutting things off and I'm never aware of what he's cutting off. I kind of viewed it more like, this is the picture I had in my mind. You get to love the pictures that run through my mind of, is the Heavenly Father first shows me this little shoot that's not bearing fruit. It usually manifests through probably something I say or a hard attitude. And then it's a coming to him and asking him, Lord, it's a kind of a Lord, I need you to take that away, right? It's kind of like the refining pot is for silver and the furnace is for gold, where he reveals these things in our lives. And then in his mercy and by his spirit, he's able to remove them. But there's this thing of crying out to him, asking, saying, Lord, I've seen this in my life. I've seen this impatience. I've seen this like that I'm not kind? How about the one where it's like, Lord, that person, I struggle to love that person. They're different than me. They like things that are different than me. They think things are funny that I don't think are, like, all the natural things that can sometimes be a rub between us. But Jesus Christ is saying, no, no, no. In Christ, we can come to a place of unity. We can have love, irrespective of those things. But the question ultimately, as I looked at this passage, was how do you put them on? And this comes back to, I see, putting these things on is we have to be abiding in Christ. And to abide in Christ, it says that the one who says that he abides in Christ, in 1 John chapter 2, ought themselves to walk in the same manner as he walked. How did Jesus Christ walk? He walked in a way of denying himself, taking up his cross each day, not just at Gethsemane, but every day, taking up his cross and obeying, just surrendering his will to the Heavenly Father every day. So if you read John, we read John 14, you read John 15, how many times it talks about obeying his commandments? That's just surrendering our will. And when we're walking that way, even in Galatians 15, before it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, it talks about walking in the Spirit, just walking in obedience and surrendering our wills to the Spirit. So you carry on. Don't worry, I'm not going to take this long on every verse. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the first one, right? Putting on these things, which is the perfect bond of unity, as we saw that rope wrapped around the kids this morning with love. It is the peace that will tie us all together. Right? But that's not something we can muster up. That comes from a life that's, even recently, Joel was talking about the quiet, the secret life, kind of the quiet life that we live that maybe nobody else sees. Right? But it's as we walk that out, the Spirit is able to work in us and produce. When you see someone and you see that person, you're like, wow, they have such gentleness, such love, such kindness, patience. That's not something that they're mustering up. That's evidence of their personal life, of making those decisions that maybe nobody else sees, to say, Lord, I want to walk in obedience. I'm going to not look at the things I ought not to look at, or listen to the things I ought not to listen to, or Lord, I'm not going to give in to the temptations, but I'm going to resist and suffer. And when we walk that way, all of that life that is flowing through Jesus Christ can flow through us. And that's how we put these things on. And then he says in verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. I was talking with someone Friday night, one of the brothers Friday night, about this, the verse in John 14, 27, which talks about the peace of God. When Jesus says to the disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. So he says, I'm leaving my peace with you. And I'm giving it to you, but it's not as the world thinks of peace. He says, this is what the peace of God looks like. He says, don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. When it says thinking about letting the peace of God rule in your hearts, what does that look like? It looks like in your heart, it doesn't change your circumstance, but it's in the midst of your circumstance that we can have no anxiety. We can have rest. We can have peace. Not be anxious, but just have rest. Not be afraid, right? Don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. It also comes, and I've learned this through my walk with the Lord, in the decisions that we make, the peace of God, letting it rule in your heart, right? There's times probably in my early days, there's times where I can be thinking about a decision. And if I think about it, I'm like, man, I have no peace about that, even though maybe that's what my flesh wants. But if I'm honest with myself, I don't really have peace about that. But I do, when I think of this and I feel like this is the direction the Lord's leading me, and it just gives me a peace in my heart. Like, it can be, it is not the only guide. Please know that, because you can say I have peace though you walk in after your own desires. So it's not the only guide, but it is when we're seeking counsel, when we're in the Word, the peace of God can also be this guide for us in terms of being led by the Spirit. Before I go on, I wanted to stop because it's something else that I've been thinking about and it ties in. So there's no question we have to be abiding in Jesus Christ, that His Spirit can be producing these things in our lives. This is how I see putting on. But there's something else that has just been in my heart lately, and I think a lot of it is for me. But it is so true. I haven't had a real life example of it this morning in my own home. You think of humility, you think of mercy. This word is not actually in here, but I was thinking about this and thinking about how do you put on, for instance, compassion? Or how do you have compassion towards someone? How do you have mercy towards someone? How important, the thought that's been in my mind is just recognizing how much mercy God has shown to me. How much mercy that He has shown to us. And when we can be reminded of the mercy that He's shown to us, and we see our own shortcomings, our own weakness, the ability to have that same kindness, the same mercy and compassion towards somebody else is so, so real. This morning we had a couple things happen in our home. We had a milk jug get dropped and it broke. And the first thing that goes through my mind is, I've done that. Your first thought is you want to be, and you see the milk pouring on the floor. Thankfully, it wasn't too bad. But you're just like, I've done that. And then a glass got broken almost immediately after. And then I was thinking about the time that we came home from one of the apple farms, and I was like, oh, I want to get one of these nice big glass jars of apple cider. And I remember putting it in the back and opening the lift gate when I got home, and it comes out and shatters the glass and spills. I've combined that all into one before. And I can think of all the times. And then... Then I was kind of getting troubled because there's some cereal being smashed and making a mess. And in my effort to try and prove the point, I reached over and knocked over the bag of cereal and made my own mess. This is my morning this morning. God in His mercy can just, in small ways, help us to see. And these are small things. They're silly things. But you know what? It does matter. It matters. In my home, and it weighs on my heart heavily, how I react to my children. The patience that I show to my children. When they make a mistake, do I react in a way like I've never made that mistake? Which is so easy to do out of frustration. Just lash out and let the tongue run. But then the Lord so quickly can remind me. It's amazing to me. I believe it's the Holy Spirit. Just remind me. Do you remember when you did that? Do you remember this time? Do you remember this time? And I believe it's His mercy to show me these things that I can go, wait a minute, I've done that. I've done that. You know, you think of the time where they caught the woman in adultery, right? Who left first? The old ones. The old ones were the first to leave when Jesus said, okay, let the first one that, or let you, whoever's without sin can be the first to cast a stone. When we have that revelation of the mercy that Jesus Christ has shown. And I just am struck by it. I'm struck by it not only by the mercy that He's shown in saving me some 20-some years ago. I'm struck by it maybe even more by the mercy He shows me every day when I see my shortcomings on a daily basis. And I'm reminded of the verse. Remember the verse, come boldly to the throne of grace that you would receive grace to help in time of need. What precedes grace to help in time of need? That you would receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. And when we recognize the mercy that we need every day to say, Lord, I see this offshoot in my life that you are revealing to me that is, not only is it, it's actually detracting from everything you're wanting to do in my life. It's sucking away. You're wanting to produce fruit in my life, and this thing in my life is detracting from it. When you see that, and then you know, Lord, you said, I can ask anything. Lord, can you remove that thing in my life that you've shown me? In your mercy and by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, can you remove that impatience in my life and replace it with patience? Let that What that thing is sucking away, the impatience and everything that it's drawing out, Lord, change it so that it's patience. And when you see that and you see the mercy that he is showing to us every day, it changes our view towards others. And I need it more. You think of Paul, and we say this often, right? He said, I'm the least of all the saints, or the least of all the apostles. Then he says, I'm the least of all the saints. And near the end of his life, he says, I'm the chief of sinners. I think it's a gift to recognize, Lord, I'm a chief of sinners. Because that way, when we turn to others, we come at it from a heart, not looking down on people, but coming at it realizing, like, apart from Jesus Christ, I am nothing. Apart from Jesus Christ, I can do nothing. But in Jesus Christ, it's not to be discouraged. Please don't take it that way. But it's the heart attitude. This is how we can come to people in, I think this is so critical, in coming to people in love and in kindness and gentleness and compassion. Part of putting that on is recognizing how good Jesus Christ has been to us, how much mercy he's shown to me. And when I see that, there's just something changes in the way that I view people, the way that I interact with people, the patience that I show people. So I see that as the mercy. And if you sit here this morning and say, I'm not sure that I see it that clearly, God can show us. God can show us the mercy that he's shown us and help us to see that. Let's continue on. Verse 16, just closing out the last two verses, he says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You think of, I said, he says too, and I mentioned this, putting on the armor of God. What is the first thing in the list of the armor of God? I think. Somebody can correct me. Is it the belt of truth? I don't know. It's in there. It's in the list, the belt of truth, right? Part of putting on the armor of God is being in his word, right? And this is, how do you let the word of God richly dwell within you? I'm not going to give you any deep revelation, but spending time in God's word. Not just spending time in it, but when we spend time in it, like just asking the Lord, I need to do this. Lord, let it be what I need for the day. Maybe it's to convict me on something. Maybe it's to encourage me in something. Maybe it's to build my faith with something. But Lord, let it be in me. So much so, because it is, that when it's in us like that, and it says here, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That can seem like, well, I know that's not my gift. I'm not called to preach. But just a simple thing of being able to say to somebody, I was super encouraged by Psalm 27 this week. It was so encouraging. And just because you've spent time in the Word, and perhaps that's what the other person needed, right? They just needed to hear, and they read it, and it encourages them. Just being, can I share a verse with you that encouraged me, right? Or a song or a hymn. Just those small things, as we're spending time with Jesus and we ourselves are being encouraged by spending time with Jesus, then we're in a position to encourage others. It's not thinking that you need to be preaching a sermon, but it's just being able to be an encouragement to somebody else. There's no time frame that Paul puts on this to the Colossians. He's just encouraging them. Spend time in God's word. Let it be in you so that it can also come out of you and encourage others. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. I would be remiss if I didn't highlight one other thing that particularly comes up in these last three verses, which is verse 15 ends with, be thankful. Verse 16 ends with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Verse 17 ends with giving thanks through him to God the Father. Having a thankful heart. Sometimes I will say this in my life. It's a choice. Giving thanks is a choice. It's not necessarily coming from a heart. I can distinctly remember being, you come back to my, I remember one years ago going for a run. And I'm running, and my heart is the furthest thing from thankful. And I don't remember the circumstances. I just remember distinctly, and I think the Lord was probably showing me something, making a choice in that moment to say, Lord, I choose now to just give thanks. I'm not giving thanks because my heart is there, but I'm just making the choice because your word says to be thankful. And I would ask you, those that have done this before, of just saying, you know what, I choose. Today is a day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and give thanks in it. Even if the enemy's there telling me every reason I shouldn't be thankful. But when you make that choice by faith to give thanks, how many of you have experienced that where the heart actually begins to change? It precedes the heart change. And someone could say, wow, you have such joy. And maybe you could say, well, you know, it's not how my day started. But by the grace of God, he just helped me to begin to give thanks. And all of a sudden, there was just a heart change. My circumstances haven't changed, but he's given me faith that he's going to help me. He's given me faith that he's going to help through these circumstances. He's given me faith to just be reminded that while this is difficult, he uses all things together for good. Whatever, his spirit begins to encourage us because we made a choice by faith to just give thanks. How critical this is. You know, he starts off setting your mind on things above. Romans 12, 1 and 2, what it says there, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? How do we set our minds on things above? How do we renew our minds? I will say thankfulness and giving thanks is a wonderful weapon in that. I'm not saying it's the only thing, but making the choice to just give thanks in whatever we're going through is a wonderful weapon in renewing our minds and helping us in our walk with the Lord. Anyway, I'm going to stop there. I hope that you can be encouraged as we think about, and perhaps if you weren't there on Friday night, you could go back and look at John 15, but you think about putting on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm going to summarize that, because pretty much everything in that passage that we just read is a fruit of the Spirit in there, and it is all, right? It's making that choice of and living a life every day of abiding in the vine. But two, also just recognizing in our lives all that Christ has done for us and all the mercy that he's shown to us. And in the midst of all of that, having a heart of thanksgiving. I encourage you with that as we go into this week, that we can have those things in our mind and seek to be renewing our minds with these things.